Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Rebel Room podcast. Ryan Green, Ray Brewer, Case Kiefer. Got a little football, got a little basketball to talk. We might as well just get it out of the way to start because I really don't know how much time we really want to dedicate to this, but things just keep getting worse for UNLV football in the 2010 season. And Case, you were the one covering the game for us on Saturday against Colorado State, and it sounds like it was just as ugly as the box score, like 43-10.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, and that's about all I can say. There's only so many chances this team has at wins left, and this was definitely one of them. I mean, it is tough since it's on the road. Any road game is tough, but you want to at least keep it competitive. You go in against Colorado State, who I think everyone would agree has been one of the worst teams in the country this year, and to lose like they did, it was just brutal to watch and not a high point in UNLV's history at all, I'm sure.
I know that no matter what level of football you're at, the key to victory is blocking and tackling. UNLV does neither well, especially the tackling part. Every team they play, Case Ryan, it seems like their offensive players have like career days. let's put this one in the media guide for next year. This guy's a stud. And until they upgrade, like we talked about the last time, their talent defensively, and all the way around the field. Some of the players who are playing right now, it's amazing that they're only losing 43-10.
Yeah, the secondary, especially on Saturday, was just terrible. I don't know. It really looked like they regressed. I mean, they've definitely played some better passing offenses than Colorado State, but they were just letting people behind them, big plays every other play. I think the Colorado State quarterback, who's going to be really good,
Pete Thomas,
their freshman, he completed his first 7 passes, and 3 of them went for touchdowns.
Oh,
so that
geez.
Pretty much gives you an indication of the UNLV secondary's effort on Saturday.
Look, we know how bad they are. We know the depth is a problem. We know the talent level is a problem. We know things probably aren't going to change. Let's have a little Vegas-style fun with this. There's six games left. They're 1-6. They beat arguably one of the worst teams in the FBS in New Mexico. The rest of the schedule, you got TCU. Let's see if I can get them all here. You got TCU up. You got BYU. You're going to have Air Force. You're going to have Wyoming. You're going to have San Diego State, and you're going to have Hawaii. The only team in that entire group probably not going to a bowl game is Wyoming. And they might even turn it around and get to 6 wins, who knows. Over-under, the standard over-under, we're setting it at 1.5. Are you taking the over-under on total wins at 1.5?
I'm going to take the over. I'm going to be optimistic here. I think that Howe gets the troops ready and they win a close game against Wyoming. Really, talent-wise, I don't think Wyoming is that much better than UNLV. They're a little bit better.
They're banged up, too.
I think they're banged up. I mean, I think Christensen's done a great job. To win a bowl game with what they had last year was really impressive. But being here, it's just hard to imagine how going 1-12 in his first year. 2-11, all right, I'll give it to you, but 1-12?
2-11's kind of like the bar here at UNLV. That 2-win plateau is kind of what every coach...
Hey, Mike Sanford had 4 2-win seasons to start it off, or 3, so who knows?
Exactly, and I like the number, the half, but I was thinking, could they beat maybe toward the end of the year when they're really progressing and improving?
Are they going to be, though?
Well, you'd like,
because I know you're about to hint at a San Diego State or a Hawaii.
I was going to hint at the San Diego State.
That
Hawaii game is going to be like a bowl game for them. That's their bowl game.
Let's get some perspective here. One, Hawaii just thrashed, and I don't care what the scoreboard says, they thrashed Reno on the island, where nobody wins when that program's really going. They had a down year, and now they appear to be back. Not to where they were when they went to a BCS game, but they're back somewhat. They're going to win 8-9 games this year. And San Diego State is 2 blown officiating calls away from being 6-0 right now. That is a damn good football team.
I got to say, I was kind of skeptical of San Diego's. Not skeptical, but I thought maybe they weren't as good as we're hyped up to be. And then I watched most of the game against who they play, Air Force this weekend.
Yeah.
And wow, I was really impressed. The DeMarco Sampson kid, a receiver, is all that he's hyped up to be and more. Yep. He's just a stud.
The Hillman kid.
I mean, I just see him at a totally different level than UNLV, personally.
What about the BYU game?
The weird thing is, right now, outside of Wyoming, that might be their best shot at a win. It really might.
I would agree.
And if they won that game, I guarantee you, folks, that 2-11 would look so sexy to all the Rebel fans.
It would look a lot better.
Print out another 500 of the Incredible Hulk t-shirts if that happens.
Yes, exactly. And I think next year, UNLV and UNR should play in Hawaii, because whenever UNR goes to Hawaii, like you said earlier in the newsroom,
they just fall apart.
It's like
their players get in trouble, they get hurt. They
just make sure the press passes don't say UNR.
Lack of discipline.
Yes. Lack of respect. Excuse me. Right?
Respect. Yeah. Speaking of respect, Ryan Green, got to change the topic a little bit.
Yeah, we have to.
The basketball season started Friday. First look. A lot of good-looking slam dunks. I saw the photos. It looked awesome. The team, I thought last year, lacked size in the inside and athleticism. They look like they're fairly athletic right now. You were there. How do they look? Should we get our Sweet 16 tickets bought? Or?
Well, let's put it this way. There were two things that stood out to me this weekend in terms of overall opinions. One was on Friday night, team looked really good during the scrimmage. It was a 20-minute scrimmage. Granted, there, you know, it was kind of like an NBA All-Star game. Not the toughest defense being played, but, you know, some guys looked improved, such as, you know, Justin Hawkins looked better. Bryce Mesamba still looks like he's coming along. Quintrell Thomas, Mike Moser look very good. But the thing that stood out was the fact that they looked good without Trayvon Willis even on the court. And he wasn't playing. It had nothing to do with his suspension. He's been sitting out of practice, still recovering from some minor knee surgery in the offseason. But, you know, that gives some hope to fans that, you know, let's remember last year. Down the stretch, how many games they had to depend on Trayvon Willis scoring 30 just to have a chance, such as at San Diego State, at Utah. Doesn't look like that's going to be the case. And the other thing that stood out was I went and watched the first official practice of the season on Saturday morning. And you can just tell this team, in terms of overall athleticism, is a grade above where it was last year. Anthony Marshall, he looks more like a man this year. He's turning into a hell of a player. Justin Hawkins, obviously a great athlete, but the big men that they have with Stanback and Moser, who obviously won't play this year, but they've got athletes now. And I think that's going to help bump this team up. Of course, it's hard to predict a Sweet 16 or anything like that, because you don't know for months what they're going to draw, what their draw is going to look like. But this is a team that probably more so than last year has the potential to get there.
And what I think you'll see this year is probably a team with a significantly different makeup than years past. I think that they lived and died with a three-pointer. That was kind of their MO. Kendall Wallace goes down, he tore up his knee in a pickup game, and they really don't have that true three-point shooter. But what they do have, it looks like they upgrade at the forward spots, and they're more athletic. So I think this UNLV team is going to win, you know, by maybe banging on the inside, maybe getting to the hole, maybe getting to the foul line. Whereas last year it was, you know, drive and kick, and you'd see literally sometimes four guys camped out on the three-point line.
Well, I think you're going to see them score in different ways. I mean, obviously you've got guys who can shoot the three, but nobody whose game really – I mean, look at Kendall Wallace and Matt Shaw, who are both unexpectedly gone. Their top weapon, each of them, was a three-point jump shot. And you don't have anybody now who that is their prime weapon, but you've got guys who can shoot it. I think you're going to see a little more versatility. And you mentioned the interior. You know, you got a guy in Quintrell Thomas who was sorely needed. And Case, actually, was in Kansas when he played there, and he can offer a little insight here in a second. That, you know, he's seen him in games a little more than we have, but this looks like a guy who – I noticed on Friday night has that rebounding gene. It seems like he, you know, it's his instinct is to go get the ball, and you know he scored four buckets on Friday night, and three of them were off of putbacks and offensive rebounds, and that's an encouraging sign, because at least UNLV is going to have someone who looks like they'll be willing to get in there when they face San Diego State two or maybe three times this year.
Yeah, I actually think, I mean, Quintrell, there's going to be teams that have guys bigger than Quintrell Thomas and, you know, more experience, but no one is tougher than this guy inside. He's just a monster, a beast. I mean, so physical. I mean, we're talking about how the football team needs to block and tackle. Sign up Quintrell Thomas.
Put him at left tackle, yeah.
The one problem I do see with him is this. That's the kind of player he is. I think I watched him for a whole year, covered him at Kansas. He didn't play a lot, but I covered every game that year, so I saw quite a bit of him. That's the kind of player he is. He needs to bang, get put back points, and sometimes he resents that. If you bring up to him, that's his role. He says, well, I can shoot too.
He's said that to me before,
I think,
too, yeah.
I think that he needs to, at least this year, he needs to accept that that's his role. Go forward with that because he's great at that. He's going to be one of the most physical players in the Mountain West. I promise you that. And just hopefully the coaching staff can get him to buy into that. And I mean, maybe when he grows up a little bit, he can be one of the stars of the team. But this year, he just really needs to, I think, fill that role.
It's funny. He actually mentioned that last year when I talked to him about being that guy, and he said, "Well, you know, that hasn't always been my game." And you look at him, and you're just like, "How is that not your game?" That's the first thing that comes to mind when I look at that guy is like, how are you not just an enforcer? He's 6'8", he's wide-shouldered, he's big, he's strong. It just seems like it makes sense.
Yeah, I know last year UNLV was rolling, and Derek Jasper hurt his knee again. How's he look, Ryan? Is he going to be back, you know, running that point forward position for him? What's his role going
to
be?
Well, I think that is the position for him. You know, if I had to project a starting five for opening night now, taking into fact that Trayvon Willis is suspended. Obviously, Trayvon assumes the two-guard spot when he comes back. You would have to think, unless Kruger wants to wean him back in by playing him off the bench for a few games. I would think right now you're looking at Oscar Belfield at the point. You're looking at Anthony Marshall at the two. And Anthony Marshall, side note, hit a three-pointer on Friday night, and it was probably the loudest the crowd cheered after he was 1 of 23 from deep last year. But then I think you're looking at probably right now Quintrell looks to be the best of the group at the five spot, and probably Chase Stanback at the four. And at that three, if he carries over how he looks right now, I don't see any way anybody unseats Derek Jasper. Because, you know, last year, writing stories about him, I almost got sick of asking him about how the coaching staff was asking him to be more aggressive. It seemed like it was a daily battle, and he had this stretch for about 2 weeks where he finally got it, and it finally clicked. And then he goes down with a knee injury. So it's been encouraging to see that he's actually kind of picked up where he left off, because on Friday night at that scrimmage, he was taking it at guys without any hesitation. It looks like for now he's over that mental hurdle of the knee issue, and you know, they need him to stay like that, because if he's not like that, he's not nearly as valuable to him.
Yeah, and a player who I covered when he played at Finley Prep, Carlos Lopez, who was great for Finley, just real lanky. How's he progressing? Is he going to factor in maybe the four or five? Or
he'll be at the five, and you know, he probably spells Chase Stanback at the four. That's, you know, I think Bryce Masamba and Quintrell Thomas are your fives right now, and your fours are Stanback and Lopez. You know, Carlos has the ball skills, the ball handling skills to be able to play the four. Really gifted interior passer. I was talking with one of the fans that was there on Saturday, and we were both kind of pointing that out. Just knows what he has a great IQ with the ball. The one thing that people want to see, though, is him continue to get tougher. He's up to about 235 pounds. He's dropped the body fat, and now the next step is just getting a mean streak to go with it.
Yeah, him and Bryce both need a mean streak. And,
yeah.
You know, I
and who knows if it'll ever come with Bryce. He just might not be that kind of
see,
kid.
See, I remember last year when they lost, he played tough as nails in the tournament.
He played hard, yeah.
And I wrote that in my instant analysis. I said, you know, Bryce, you know, wears his heart on his sleeve. He's just aggressive. He's carried. I love this guy. And, I took the fans did not like that comment. And I felt like maybe I stared him the wrong way, but there's something about him that I saw, Ryan, where I was like, boy, this kid really is. I mean, if he continues to progress from that game from where he was at to where he got to play like he did against Northern Iowa, and then if he continues that progression, I think he's going to be a good inside player in this league.
I think it's because it's inconsistent with him. You know, you'll see that there were games last year. The game at San Diego State, the game here against San Diego State, the game at here against Utah, where he'll just disappear and you'll kind of forget he's there. And it's hard; it's usually hard to miss a 6'11" guy, but you'll just kind of forget he's there at times. But
Could I be right, or am I off base that maybe we will see a big improvement from Masamba this year, being that both Quintrell and Lopez are eligible to play? And, I mean, for minutes down there, he's going to have to practice hard. He's going to have to look good in practice, or else he's going to get phased out of the rotation, the way I would see it.
I think you're right, because I think at the end of the year last year, he was almost their starting – well, his starting job was not guaranteed either, but when he started, it almost seemed like it was, you know, it was going on a game-by-game basis, and it was almost by default at times. You're right, that's not going to be the case now, because Quintrell Thomas didn't transfer here to sit. Yeah. And, you know, Carlos Lopez wasn't so patient with his redshirt year, so he could sit moving forward. And, you know, Carlos Lopez, of those big men, is the only guy where you can actually say has legitimate NBA potential in that body of his. So,
and I think, you know, two things. What one, Carlos and Bryce both need to become tougher. Well, going against Quintrell in practice every day, that's definitely going to help him out. And I think, you know, losing Matt Shaza is a killer, because, you know, the pick and pop play, he was a great 3-point shooter, great basketball IQ, senior who would, you know, was on that Sweet 16 team. But, you know, now you're freeing up some minutes for a Carlos Lopez guy who, you know, everybody thinks the sky's the limit for. Uh-huh. So maybe a little bit of a blessing in disguise in a roundabout way.
Yeah, it could be. And, you know, the area we're losing Wallace and Shaw hurts is what Coach Kruger told me. He said it's not necessarily that, you know, they're niche players, kind of. And what that does is it takes away something that an opposing team has to take time game planning for. You know, think about time in practice that opposing teams dedicated to guarding, quote-unquote, Kendall Wallace after that New Mexico game last year. I mean, you're talking about 15, 20 minutes of a chunk of a practice session. So you lose that edge to you. But in turn, it's going to put some pressure on some guys. And, you know, I wrote in my advance last week, you know, I think the guy who's the most likely breakout player this year is Anthony Marshall, and it has to be. Because, you know, look, Kiefer has a total man crush on him, and it was hard not to. And it was hard not to after that Utah game last year, because that was one of the best performances we saw by anybody on this team all year. He just has to add in that jump shot. And look, his form is always going to look a little quirky, but the kid's working at it, and at a point, it's got to come along. He busts his ass in terms of getting up extra shots this summer.
And I think what's important with Anthony, looking at the total big picture, is that he's a local kid. Yep. Doing well here at UNLV, and there's no secret that there's a ton of good players in Summerlin.
Huge recruiting chip. Yep.
And if Marshall could have some success here, then so could, I don't know, Shabazz Muhammad's way out of the equation. Yeah. From Gorman. But there's maybe...
Roscoe Allen's not. You know,
I agree with
thing.
You. Yeah, that, exactly. Yeah. It's a good point.
You guys are acting like it's a question if Anthony Marshall is going to break out. To me, it's not even a question. It's just how much. I mean, is this guy going to be the best player in the conference, or is he going to be one of the top 10? You know, that's my question.
And there's a reason he blew up like he did in the summer before his senior year on the recruiting circuit. There's a reason he was a top 70 recruit nationally. People forget that sometimes. You know, Kruger gets a big knock on his recruiting. You know, that was a big time player to keep home, and I think people kind of lose sight of that sometimes. You know, the coaching staff believes that he has star potential, and you're starting to see it. And, you know, he obviously dedicated himself physically this offseason. He looks great, you know, despite what you say about the strange tattoos. But, you know, he looks great right now physically, and, you know.
He's the face of the team. He's in all the advertising.
Exactly.
And I think the thing that goes underrated about Anthony Marshall, even to Mr. Anthony Marshall fan club president, the kid plays nails defense.
Yeah.
I mean, he might be the team's best defender. Mm-hmm. And in this league, it's tough to win on the road. And if you have somebody who could guard the ball like he does, I just think it's going to help him all the way across the board. My humble opinion.
Couldn't disagree with
it. There you have it. I agree.
All right. Well, before we get out of here, let's get a prediction. We mentioned the words Sweet 16. We're not going to go that far ahead. But the preseason poll came out. UNLV picked fourth. For the record, I voted them third, which I'm kind of the opinion, and I think a lot of the media in the league is, that after San Diego State, it's kind of interchangeable between BYU, New Mexico, and UNLV. Where do you think is fair to project the Rebels finishing in the Mountain West this year?
I think that 3 or 4 hole is a real fair assessment. At the same token, with the off season of tragedy that they've had, and I know tragedy is a real strong word, but you know, Wallace,
things
Shaw,
that you're not
Trevon.
Used to. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely not a solid offseason. I could see the wheels falling off and maybe them, you know, finishing fifth in that league. And thankfully for UNLV, the tournament is always here in Las Vegas.
Well, thankfully for UNLV, there's not really a fifth team you can really see that.
I still like Colorado State.
Yeah, I do too.
I know that they're not in that upper echelon four, but this is a team that's going to need to prove it to us in the first, 3 weeks, especially that Wisconsin game on a Saturday, because we don't know how they're going to be. They lost their best three-point shooter. They lost a good change of pace guy in Wallace. You know, their point guard is, has been a question mark and is out of it.
Yeah.
And their best player, their marketing guy, right, Marshall, is he's 1 of 26 from three. And while we think he's going to be good, he still hasn't proven anything. So I think the 3 or 4 is good. I'm not as high on San Diego State as other people in this room. And I could see him falling, though, to fifth. Go ahead, Case. What do you think,
Dave? I think right now, if you had me on this post-it note thing I'm twirling right now in this room, I think if you had me fill out my ballot, I would have UNLV third. I think that's fair. I think that's where they are. But that being said, I've been so optimistic today. I'm taking the over on Hauk wins. I'm saying they might be able to beat BYU. I'm going to go the over for 3-2. I think that they can finish second in this league. But, I mean, I think San Diego State is far and away the best team. And I think that – I don't even think there's an argument that they couldn't be number one right now.
Yeah. I agree. I'm going to stick with third, but I do kind of agree with Kiefer. The sky kind of is the limit for this team, but the reason San Diego State really is being so favored right now is because they have fewer questions than any of those other top four teams.
Okay, let's tie it right back to gambling. San Diego State comes into the Thomas and Mack Center for a Saturday 8 o'clock Mountain game. What do you put the line at?
It depends at that point. But are we talking today, like today, as of right now?
Today? This Saturday, baby, they come into the MAC.
San Diego State -2.
No way.
I was going to say San Diego State -1.
Yeah.
It didn't bother them in the conference title last year. These teams, have they really changed
they
that much?
They do not get phased by playing here, obviously. They destroyed UNLV here last year. 2 years ago, they barely lost in an ugly game. They just don't have the mental block that BYU does here.
What do you set the line at San Diego State in Provo to play BYU?
Pick.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, they're inspired by DeMarco Sampson these days. Look what they're doing on the football field. The basketball team's going to feed off of that.
It's a football school now. They're fighting for respect.
Forget the Marshall fan club. San Diego Chamber of Commerce over here with the hashtags.
Before we let this get a little too out of hand, any final comments, guys?
Anthony Marshall, Quintrell Thomas, and San Diego State. There you have it.
I can't say it any better.
I'm looking for UNLV football with 2 weeks to prepare for TCU. Not to pull up the upset, which would be front page news across the world, but just to keep it respectable and show some improvement.
Score a touchdown.
Score a touchdown. That's respectful. There you go. For Ray Brewer, Case Kiefer, I'm Ryan Green. We'll talk to you next week.